decided that I am not being born. We have already discussed. I am not this body and I am pure consciousness. Somewhere or other I am encased with this bodily dress. But I am not this body. I am pure consciousness. Now, if we actually want happiness or independence, then we have to remain in our pure consciousness position. Suppose this I do not belong to certain association or certain company. Then I have to keep aloof from that company. So Lord Krishna says that Bhogaisajya Prasattaha, those who are too much attached with bodily pleasure, bodily enjoyment, and they are apuhita-cetasam. Apuhita-cetasam means those who are illusion. Because bodily pleasure is not my pleasure. My pleasure is different because I am not this body. That's why a man in the a feverish condition or in feverish delirium speaking something that is not his normal speaking. That is due to the delirious condition. So to bring him to the normal condition, the physician treats him to get out of that delirious condition. So similarly, our position is, because we have got somewhere or other, we have been entangled with the material world. Therefore, our conception of happiness is just like a man in the delirious condition. So we have to cure. Some philosophers say that this delirious condition should be cured and there should be no activity. They are afraid of any activity. Because our this material activities have become source of distress for us. Therefore, there are certain philosophers. They say that we should stop all sorts of activities. Their highest culmination of perfection, according to their idea, is that stopping all sorts of activities. Just like Buddha philosophy, Nirvana. Nirvana means stopping. Stopping all that. Buddha philosophy, according to Lord Buddha, his theory that due to the combination of material elements, this body has come into existence. Now, somewhere other, if this material elements are separated or dismantled, then the cause of distress is removed. That is it. Just like you have got a big house The tenants or the government or tax collector, you have too much trouble. So if you think that better to dismantle this house so that to get rid of this all trouble. So this theory that separating material elements by which this material body is formed, they are broken or they are sent back to their original position, then we are free from all this material. But we, at least those who are following this Bhagavad Gita, this philosophy does not say that the material body is all in all. Beyond this material body, there is spirit. And the symptom of that spirit is understood by concept. Because that is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Now, you cannot deny consciousness. You cannot deny consciousness. And consciousness minus body minus consciousness is dead body. Everyone knows, a child can understand that I am speaking, you are hearing, because your consciousness is present, my consciousness is present. As soon as my consciousness is deducted from this body, then this same mouth will not speak, this same hand will not move, the same your ear will not hear. The whole thing will be stopped. So it is very common sense affair. That consciousness, that is the main thing in this body. So, any intelligent man with common sense can understand. Now, what is this consciousness? This consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Just like wherever there is some fire, there is heat, or there is smoke. When you see something, suppose you are sitting here, if you find someone smoking, then you are afraid, oh, there must be some fire. Otherwise, why smoke is coming? Or wherever you feel some heat, although you do not see the fire directly, still you can understand that there is fire. Because there is smoke, because there is heat, therefore there is fire. Similarly, this consciousness, nobody can deny this consciousness. But this consciousness, because this consciousness is, therefore, I am, identification or my energy is being produced in the shape of consciousness. So this consciousness proves that I am the soul present. That is Gita's philosophy and that is the whole Vedic philosophy. Anyone, either the devotees, just that we belong to the devotee group of philosophers, and there are others who are impersonal, but they, or both of them, they do not deny the presence of the soul. Presence of the soul. The Buddha philosophy, they do not recognize the soul. They, according to them, that the combination of matter at a certain stage produces consciousness. But that philosophy, that argument can be refuted that with matter you cannot produce consciousness. Because take the example of a dead man. The dead man is here. All the elements, material elements are all there, present. But you cannot revive, you cannot revoke that man to consciousness. The elements are there, the ingredients are there. Now if you think this ingredient has been decomposed or disintegrated, then replace that ingredient. Just like in a machine. In a machine, some part is wear and tear. It is not working, stop. You can replace that part, that into new part, and the machine will work. But this is not like that. If you think that something has deteriorated in this body, therefore it has become dead. Say for example, they say generally that they due to heart failure. Now heart, here medical practitioners are knowing the heart is always pumping like this. Now, can you produce a heart action by artificial pumping? No, it is not possible. They give respiratory oxygen gas and so many things, but it cannot be. Therefore, it is a fact that the soul is different from this body. So long the soul is there, the body has. And we, our blunt senses, our gross senses, we cannot see the soul, therefore we deny. Because our imperfect senses cannot see this. We cannot see so many things. Just like we are seeing, this place is vacant, the outer space. But there are instruments. If you see those instruments, you will find they are full of germs. Full of germs. Take a drop of water, as clear as possible. But if you see in microscope, you will see, oh, it's full of germs. So, imperfect vision of existence, of the existence of the soul, does not mean that there is no soul. The soul is there. Soul is there, and we can see the presence of the soul by the symptom of consciousness. And that's a clear fact. Now, we have discussed all these things. Now, Krishna says that our whole misery, the whole philosophy, that our whole misery is due to this bodily contact. Bodily contact. We feel misery, distress and happiness at the present state. It is due to this body. We have already discussed that, just like take for example the water. Water, in summertime, it is very pleasant. And in winter time, it is very distressful. We are afraid. Even a drop of cold water, we are afraid of. Without hot water, we cannot take our bath. Now, water as it is, it is water constitutionally, chemically, or whatever it may be. But it is due to the bodily touch of the water, we sometimes feel pleasure and sometimes feel distress. Therefore, all our feelings of distress and happiness is due to this body. It is to the body. Body under certain condition, mind under certain condition, feels happiness and feels distress. So therefore, if we, that happens, we are actually hankering after happiness. Because the soul constitution is happiness. Soul's constitution is happiness. Anyone who is brought up in a very nice family with all comfortable conditions, as you see,
at this step in a different condition. Similarly, the soul is the part and parcel of the Supreme Being. Supreme Being, His constitution is Satchidananda Vigraha. The Supreme Being is the embodiment of eternity, bliss and knowledge. Eternity, bliss and knowledge. That is the constitution of the Supreme Entity. He is eternal, He is blissful, and always full of pleasure. Always full of pleasure. Krishna, this word, Krishna, now you have chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This Krishna is, do not take it that we are presenting some sectarian conception of God or like that. But this Krishna, this is a Sanskrit word, you have to understand. Krishna. Krishna means, Krish means the greatest. And no means pleasure. He is the symbol of greatest pleasure. Greatest pleasure. So, we are also part and parcel of that greatest pleasure. Just like the ocean and a drop of water of the ocean. If you chemically analyze, you will find the same individual. The volume of the ocean is certainly greater than the volume of the drop of the ocean water. But so far the constitution is concerned, either the drop of ocean water or the full ocean water, the same chemical composition is fine. Similarly, because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Satchidananda Vigraha, eternity, blissful and knowledge. Therefore, although we are minute particles, but the minute particles has caused so much energy. You can just see that minute particle of the soul within this body, how wonderful things we are doing. Everything, whatever material manifestation, at least in this world, in New York City, you see so many big buildings and so many machinery, factories and organizations. But who has got that minute particle embodied in the soul? Let's see. If that minute particle can play so much wonderful things, just imagine what wonderful things cannot be done by the Supreme. But, not particle, is the whole. Is the whole. Because we do not understand the capacity, the energy of the just calculate mathematically. Now, the particle is so small that it has been calculated that 1/10,000 part of the upper portion of the air is the measurement of the soul. Now, we cannot even imagine, but supposing that the point, if that point has got so much energy, that it is playing wonderful things, everything is being manufactured by the brain of that small particle. Now you can just make a proportion, then the full one, how much wonderful things he can play. If a small particle of a spark of fire, if it is dropped here, it will at once burn it. Now, you can just imagine the big fire, how much capacity he has got. So the thing is that we are, because we are part and parcel of that Satchidananda Vigraha, eternity, peaceful and knowledge, therefore our anchoring is always to live eternal. Our anchoring is always to get full knowledge. And our anchoring always to remain happy. That is our natural anchoring. But that is being hampered due to this world. That we do not understand. We are hankering after full knowledge, we are hankering after full belief, we are hankering after eternity, but we do not know how to obtain that. Here is the information. Here is the information. That you are hankering after all these things through some imperfect instrument. That is not one. So you have to understand yourself that you are not this one. Whole impediment, whole choking up your progress is due to this body. So you have to separate yourself from this body. Simply separating, I mean to say, theoretically, will not do. You have to keep yourself always separate. Always separate as master of this body. Not as servant of this one. That should be your aim of life. Just like you have got a motor car, nice motor car. If you want to drive it as a superior master, driver, then the car will give you good service. But if you do not know how to drive, then the car will play disaster, your life will be risky. Then I will be risky. If you simply sit down in a good car without knowing the art of driving, then it will play disaster. You give at once motion and it will collide with something and you will be fractured and whole thing will be So, now our position is that we do not know how to drive this motor car. We do not know how to drive this motor car. We have become the servant of the motor car. Not the expert driver, but a servant. This body means the senses. The senses. The sense wants that my eyes, it wants, there is a beautiful guy, let us see. And hankering after and following that beautiful guy. Then very nice music. All right. Yes. All right. Let us have it. Then very good restaurant. Palatable dishes. Tongue. Dishes. You go there. Similarly, all our senses. This body is senses. Without senses, the body has nothing. So, our position is that eyes are drawing and dragging to some place. Ears dragging to some place. Tongue dragging to some place, hand dragging to some place, leg dragging to some place, so you have passed place. Now we have to learn how to control this sense. That is called sāna. Sāna is a very word. Sāna suggests that he is the controller of the body. He is not controlled by the body. Shami or Goshami. Bo means senses. And Shami means master. One, he is the master of the senses. He is called Goshami or Shami. All set. So, that now, as soon as we are convinced that I am not this body, I am consciousness and pure soul. So, I have to get free from this entanglement, then I will have to make arrangement for that. Simply theoretically knowing will not do. Therefore Krishna says that those who are too much attached with this bodily pleasure and by that confession one who is illusion, that person cannot fix up in his identification with the soul. So, that is the critical point. That is the critical point. That if we indulge in our bodily pleasure, that pleasure is flickering. That pleasure is flickering. We cannot enjoy. Bodily pleasure we cannot enjoy. That is intoxication. Something like intoxication. That is not pleasure, actual pleasure. Actual pleasure is of the soul, not of this body. So, we have to guide our life, we have to mold our life in such a way that we must not be guided by the so-called bodily pleasure. And if we are guided by the bodily pleasure, then we cannot be fixed up in our identification with the soul. This is clear. Now, next slok is Trayunna Visayaveda Nitrayunya Bhavajana Nidanda Nitta Sattva Nidyoga Chema Asama. Veda. Veda means the book of knowledge. Now the book of knowledge, according to the climate, according to the population, according to the country, there are different books of knowledge. Just like in India, the book of knowledge is accepted as the Veda, Vedic knowledge. In your European, American countries, the book of knowledge accepted as the Old Testament, New Testament. Similarly, the book of knowledge amongst the Mohammedans, they are accepted as the Quran. They are book of knowledge, undoubtedly. There is no doubt about it. Now, what are these book of knowledge, religious scriptures? The religious scripture means they are meant for training you to that conception of life that you are pure soul. Nothing more. They restrict your bodily activities under certain conditions. Under certain conditions. That is called morality. Just like your Bible has got 10 commandments. 10 commandments. What is that commandment? To regulate your life. Because without regulation, you cannot. Because we have to control the body to reach to the highest perfection. So if we don't follow any regulative principles, how we can make our life perfect? So that regulative principle may be a little different from my country to your country or my Veda to your Bible, but that does not matter. That is made according to the time, condition and the mentality of the population. But there is regulative control. Regulative control. A human society is not considered civilized unless and until the members of the society are put into some regulative control. By regulative principle. Without regulative principle, you cannot make the progressive march of the state or the people or the citizens. So similarly, here it is said, that Trayunna Visayaveda Nitrayunna Bhavajana. Arjuna, these Vedas or the scriptures, they are meant for regulating the three modes of nature. But if you want to be situated in your, pure
of identifying this body. So, Lord Krishna says, but such a prasanna, maya apasta na dhamsatta samadhu na bhuta bhuta ni jnana apahita cetasa, man, root, mind, and intelligence has been misled by this false enjoyment. False enjoyment, for him, they are working on the pure consciousness platform, Dausatita of Jeev, that I am not this body. We are talking of this, that I am not this body, I am pure consciousness and pure soul. So, we have to work in such a way that our bodily conception of life is completely rejected and we are situated in the engagement, occupation, pure consciousness. We are talking on this subject matter. Lord Krishna says, those who are captivated by this false enjoyment, body, bhoga. Now, our bhoga enjoyment means to the third. The body is my disease condition. As a diseased man cannot enjoy life. How is it possible? Take for example, a man who is suffering from jaundice it is practical, you can get practical, a man, find out man who is suffering from jaundice, you give a bit of sugar candy and ask him to test, he will say it is bitter. He will say it is bitter. Don't test this sweetness. Because his condition is disease, therefore he actually cannot enjoy the sweetness of sugar candy. But when he is pure, a man in healthy state, if you give him sugar candy, oh, he says, he appreciates. Oh, very sweet, very nice. The same sugar candy, according to our condition of life, is tasted differently. So, unless we cure from this disease of wrong conception of life, we cannot have any taste, anything. We cannot have any taste for it. The bitter taste will have bitter taste. Now, this word, even Mahatma Gandhi have read his life, the day when he was to be killed, he did not know in the morning that he was going to be killed in the evening. But as a big man, he was receiving so many letters, so many congratulations, so many condemnations. He do not know at the end of Gandhi's later part of life, he was so disgusted with his life that he always wanted. He spoke to his secretary, associate, that if death would come to me, I would be such a big man, such a great man. One of his practical difficulty was that he could not sleep soundly, partly due to his sick occupation and partly due to the disturbance of the people. Wherever he will go, thousands and thousands of people will gather and will loudly speak Mahatma Gandhi teacher.
even at dead of night, at 12 o'clock at night, he is passing through a train, and if the train is stopped at the middle station, people will get information and gather, Mahatma Gandhi. So, I have seen personally, when he was going through some crowd, he was closing, tapping his ears like this. His brain was being unnecessarily attacked with this sound, Mahatma Gandhi. People thought that they were glorifying Mahatma Gandhi, but Mahatma Gandhi was being killed by that voice. So this is the, just like you know, there is an English proverb. What is great to you is dead to me. So that is the position here. Even if you are glorified, still you cannot enjoy. You cannot enjoy anything, any position. Because this wrong conception of bodily existence is a diseased form of my constitution. So I cannot enjoy. Now, a patient who is suffering from some disease, he is unable to enjoy, but if he forcibly enjoys, then his life becomes risky. He becomes more implicated. That's why, of course, in your country, I know that there is no such disease as typhoid. But in India, there is a fever called typhoid. Here it is called typhoid, or something like medical term. That typhoid is a disease of intestine. Now, in that disease, any solid food is strictly forbidden. First term is 20 or 14 days, then 21 days, then 41 days, up to 60 days. He is to live only on glucose water. That's all. Other things is dangerous for him. Now, if that typhoid patient desires to eat some solid food, and if somebody out of compassion gives him some solid food, then it is death for him. Because in that condition, he cannot enjoy. His enjoyment is forbidden. Therefore, in our diseased condition of this bodily conception of life, if we increase our so-called enjoyment of the body, then we shall be more and more entangled in the conditional life of material existence. If you really want freedom from this material existence and miseries of material existence, then we must minimize the bodily enjoyment. We must minimize. Just like a diseased man is given some liquid food. He is forbidden to take any food, because any food will aggravate his disease. But still, because he has to exist, he is given some glucose water, some barley water, some fruit juice, little. It is also psychological. The patient may think also, I am eating something. And it is not, I am starving. I am eating. That is also psychological effect. At the same time, this light food, fruit juice or glucose water, that is easily digested. So there is no harm. Similarly, we have to, the present life is disease condition. So, if you want to cure this disease of repeated birth and death, then we have to restrict restrict our bodily enjoyment. Because we cannot enjoy. It is simply so-called enjoyment. Actually, you cannot enjoy this disease condition of this body. Enjoyment, real enjoyment means, that is, non-stopping. Non-stop. There is a verse in Mahabharata. Ramante yogina anante. Yogina, those who are yogis, are spiritual. Yogi means spiritual. The general meaning of yogi is spiritual. Those who are endeavoring to emancipate from this material condition of life and trying to elevate to the spiritual platform, he is called yogi. Now, those yogis have different types, but the method or process of spiritual realization may be different. Your process or my process may be little different, but that does not hamper. The thing is that your aim is also spiritual realization. Just like, generally, there are three classes of spirituals. The jnani, the yogi, and the bhakta. Jnani means those who are trying to realize spiritual self through speculation of metaphysics and philosophy. They are called jnani. And yogis, those who are trying to realize spiritual self by meditation and controlling the senses. Yoga Indriya Sangha. This Hatha Yoga meditation means that our senses are engaged in varieties of work. So, by Hatha Yoga gymnastics, the process, the mind is concentrated into the Paramatma, Super Soul. That means those who are too much bodily addicted, for them this Hatha Yoga process is good, recommend. The yogi, the jnani and the yogi and the bhakta. Bhakta means devotees. Devotees. Spiritual realization. The objective of spiritual goal is realized in three different phases. Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahma is in personal conception of the Supreme. So these jnanis, those who are proceeding through philosophical speculation and metaphysical analysis, they attain up to the impersonal Brahma. Those who are meditating by yogic process, they attain to the Paramatma teacher or Super Soul. And those who are devotees, they attain the Supreme Personality of God. So according to Bhagavad, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. Paramatma seeker is partial representation. How it is? Just like the sun. Sun is the chief planet and his reflection is in every quarter resulta. If you put here thousands and millions of quarter parts, in each part will find the reflection of the sun. So Paramatma, Super Soul, is the reflection or partial representation of the sun. This is Paramatma experience, and Brahma experience is just like the sun sign. sunshine. Sunshine is all perfect. Everywhere, sunshine is there. But still, sunshine is not important. Important is the sun glow. Similarly, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, when one realizes he is effulgent bodily, ray, that is Brahma consciousness. When one realizes his reflection in every body, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Vigdeshasi, God is in everyone's heart, just like the reflector of the sun in a pot. So we are just like pot, and the God's reflection is in our heart. But that, this is material example, but God's reflection and God, there is no difference. God bodily ray and God, there is no difference. Advaita. They are not in the duality or relative one. They are in the absolute one. So, there is no difference between God, Brahma and Paramatma. Any feature of realization will lead the person to spiritual life. But, comparatively, the first realization is Brahma, and the higher realization is Paramatma, and the ultimate realization is Bhagavan. So Bhagavan, he is the real enjoyer. He is the real enjoyer. You will find in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. The Lord says that I am the enjoyer. Whatever is being done here, I am the enjoyer. Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. I am the proprietor. So therefore, Bhoga means enjoyment. The real enjoyer is the Supreme Lord. We are enjoyed. We are not enjoyed. Just like a crude example, because you have got our material senses, for example, in material world, we can just understand. Just like the husband and wife. Now, the husband is called the enjoyer, purusha. Purusha, purusha, man is called purusha. Purusha means enjoyer. And the wife is called stri. Stri means woman. And the stri means prakriti. Prakriti means which is enjoyed. The subject and the object. But the enjoyment, actually the enjoyment between husband and wife, that is participated by both. There is no division. When the actual enjoyment is there, there is no division. The husband is enjoying more, or the wife is enjoying less, or like that. There is no such division. When the enjoyment is there. This is a crude example. But still, there is division. The husband is called the enjoyer and the wife is called the enjoyed. Husband is called the predominator and the wife is called predominated. Of course, in our India, Hindu conception of life, that A woman, according to our Manusanghita scripture, is woman. A woman is always protected. A woman is never given independence. She is protected during her child by the father, and she is protected in our youth by the husband, and she is protected in our old age by her son. That is the conception. And the woman, the cow, the brahmin, the children, they are meant for absolute protection. That is the Vedic conception. This is always given full protection. The children, the woman, the brahmin, and the cow. And they have no fault. In the laws of the state, a woman, a child, a brahmin, and cow has no fault. In the criminal court, they are never prosecuted. That is a Hindu law. Now, therefore, the whole idea is that the living entities, we are not enjoyers. We are enjoyed. We say that God has expanded in many, and out of the many, we are. Out of the many, we are. We are, you are, I am, you are, every one of us, we are all expansions of the Supreme Lord. Eka bahushyama, the God will that I shall become many. I shall become many. Now, why he becomes many? God is one without second. But he, out of his own sweet will, he becomes many. Now, why he becomes many? He becomes many to enjoy. Because without becoming many, nobody can enjoy. Just for example, here I am speaking here. Now, you are five gentlemen and ladies present here. So, we are enjoying this topic. But, if there would have been 500 here, people assembled, the enjoyment would have been more. And if there would have been no person sitting here, simply myself speaking, there would have been no enjoyment. The enjoyment means variety. Without variety, without many things, there is no question of enjoyment. That is the original idea of enjoyment. So God became many. God became many for his enjoyment. Because he is the enjoyer. We are not enjoyers. We are enjoyed. So we must know our constitutional position that we are not enjoyed. We are enjoyed. So as soon as we are convinced to this particular, now enjoyed and the enjoyed, both of them have got consciousness. Just like the husband and the wife. The husband is the enjoyed. The wife is the enjoyed. But both of them are conscious. But the consciousness of the enjoyer is subordinate to the consciousness of the enjoyer. So, although the supreme consciousness is the supreme enjoyer, and we are enjoyed, but the enjoyment can be equally participated when there is actual enjoyment. So our enjoyment can be perfected. Our enjoyment can be perfected when we participate in the enjoyment of God. Because he is the enjoyer. So we become engaged in the matter of encouraging different types of things are the more enjoyment. That is separately we cannot enjoy. Therefore, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate with the Supreme Enjoyer. Then our sense of enjoyment will be complete. Just like another example, just like this body is the whole. Now, the body has got many parts, the hands, the legs, the eyes, the ears, the head, so many things. But these parts of the body, we cannot enjoy separately out of the body. This hand cut off from the body is useless. There is no enjoyment. But a hand so long attached to this body, it has got all the enjoyment of sense. Such sensation, the enjoyment of the hand, can be perceived when the hand is attached to the body. If the hand is cut off from this body, then the special enjoyment of this hand, that it cannot be perceived.